You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In Washington, the Justice Department will soon issue an ethics report. The report will review the role of senior department lawyers in authorizing and implementing an extensive torture program. The report revolves around several memos written between 2002 and 2005. They justify 10 techniques, including banging heads on walls, prolonged nudity, confinement of people in small dark boxes with insects for hours, and most notoriously, waterboarding. The memos find that none of these techniques constitute torture or degrading treatment. Marjorie Cohen is immediate past president of the National Lawyers Guild and a professor at Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She has joined me by phone to discuss the forthcoming report. Good morning, Marjorie.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, these are memos. They justify all kinds of torture techniques, for example, banging heads and so forth, and waterboarding. Why were those memos written at all?
The memos were written, evidently, because Bush and Cheney and the other high officials in his administration, went to the lawyers and said, here, we want the legal backup, and I use legal in quotes, to justify these enhanced interrogation methods, which is another word for torture and abuse. And the one of the really important, probably the most important thing to come out of this Office of Professional Responsibility report, when it ever does come out, it's evidently still classified, is that it is going to include the details of the meetings inside the White House with Cheney's staff, where they are given direct orders to John Yoo and the other lawyers about how to write these memos, about how to authorize waterboarding. And that would prevent Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Rice and the rest from saying, we relied in good faith on the advice of our lawyers. We're not responsible. And in fact, if they were directing the lawyers to write these memos to break the law, then they, as well as the lawyers, could be held legally accountable.
So the lawyers were just doing the bidding of the president and the vice president and so forth?
Yes, hired guns, we call them.
And now the report has been underway for 5 years. Why has it taken so long to come out?
Well, my feeling is because they can't agree on what it's going to say. And if it really says what it should say and assesses their liability, and from the evidence I've seen and many, many other people, they have committed war crimes. Torture is considered a war crime, and they could be prosecuted under the war crime statute or the torture statute, both U.S. federal statutes. And yet Obama does not want to alienate the Republicans because he still holds out hope for this bipartisanship, which of course is a fantasy. And so by bending over backwards to not upset the Republicans, and frankly anything he does upsets the Republicans, even when he adopts their own agenda, but by bending over backwards to help the Republicans or to keep them happy, he refuses to enforce the law, and under the Constitution, it's very clear that the president's duty under the Take Care Clause is to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, and that means not standing in the way of the Attorney General prosecuting those people for whom there is probable cause that they've committed crimes.
Now, you mentioned David Margolis. Can you tell us a little more about him?
He's a career official in the Justice Department. He's about 70 years old, and he was famous, I guess, at least within those circles, for not wanting these people to be held accountable. He's a senior Justice Department official who has evidently been there for quite a while. And so by passing this report to Margolis, Eric Holder likely knew that Margolis would water it down.
So they were kind of looking for a burial.
Right. I think so. A group that I'm involved with called the Robert Jackson Steering Committee, and it's named after Justice Robert Jackson, who was the prosecutor at Nuremberg, filed a Freedom of Information Act request to get this Office of Professional Responsibility report publicized, and we filed that request before this latest report on the watered-down conclusions. So there are a lot of people who are waiting for this report to come out, and from reports of people who have evidently seen the various drafts, it is getting progressively more and more weaker and weaker. The conclusions are getting weaker and weaker in terms of really holding these torture lawyers accountable.
Now, in Spain, there has been an independent movement to prosecute these U.S. officials. Can you tell us about that?
Well, under the very well-established theory of universal jurisdiction, any country can prosecute nationals of another country, even if there's no connection with the prosecuting country, for the most heinous crimes, war crimes, crimes against humanity, genocide, because they are thought to be so atrocious that they're crimes against all of humanity. Israel tried, convicted, and executed Adolf Eichmann for his crimes during the Holocaust, even though there was no direct connection with Israel. The United States, a federal court in Miami, prosecuted Chucky Taylor of Liberia for torture in Liberia that had nothing to do with the United States, and a year ago he was sentenced to 97 years and is serving prison and serving time in a U.S. prison. He was convicted in Miami. So universal jurisdiction is a very well-established theory, and during the Bush administration, some countries began universal jurisdiction investigations of some of the Bush officials and lawyers, and the Bush administration threatened those countries, and they backed down. For example, Belgium had charges pending against Donald Rumsfeld, and for a few delicious months, Donald Rumsfeld couldn't travel abroad without worrying about being arrested. However, the Bush administration threatened the government of Belgium that if they didn't drop the charges against Rumsfeld and water down their universal jurisdiction law, that the United States would arrange for the headquarters of NATO to be pulled out of Brussels, and Belgium backed down. Now, what's happened recently is that Spain's top investigating judge, Baltasar Garzón, is undertaking an investigation of six Bush lawyers for their role in the torture policy: John Yoo, Jay Bybee, Douglas Feith, Alberto Gonzalez, William Haynes, and David Addington. And there has been pressure in Spain to actually water down Spain's universal jurisdiction law, primarily because Spain is also investigating Israel for war crimes in Gaza. But what has happened is that the universal jurisdiction law has changed in Spain, and now Spanish courts can only bring cases that have a clear link with Spain, or in cases that are not being investigated in countries where the offenses are alleged to have been committed. But this investigation against these six Bush lawyers is ongoing, and what remains to be seen is how much pressure the Obama administration applies on the government of Spain to keep this from going forward. I don't know if they'll actually rise to the level of threats that happened during the Bush administration, but I know I've seen reports that that Obama officials have been in touch with the Zapatero government in Spain about this case. So it's still ongoing. And if the United States government was taking care of business and prosecuting these people, then Spain wouldn't get involved, because universal jurisdiction only complements, it doesn't replace, national prosecutions. But if the United States continues to refuse to take care of business, then Spain and other countries will. And there have reportedly been some other investigations in other countries as well.
Now, have the authors of the report, and you've mentioned a couple of them, you, Bybee, have they been punished in any way?
Not that I know of. I know that a National Lawyers Guild member filed a complaint with the Pennsylvania State Bar against John Yoo, and the complaint, because that's where John Yoo is licensed to practice law, and the complaint was dismissed but without prejudice. That means that it was dismissed pending the results of the Office of Professional Responsibility report. So whatever comes out of that may affect what happens to John Yoo in Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, Jay Bybee has a lifetime appointment on the federal court of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on the west coast of the United States, and he was actually appointed to that position by Bush after his participation in these torture memos. He was basically rewarded for his participation, for his loyalty in writing the torture memos with a lifetime federal judgeship.
Now, if this report does exonerate or just mildly punish the officials involved, what does that mean for the future? Does it set a kind of bad precedent?
Well, it certainly does. It says to people who would do us harm that we're not going to hold people accountable who torture and abuse and in many instances kill people of Arab and Muslim descent. And when we talk about becoming safer, this actually makes us less safe. Alberto Mora, who is the former general counsel of the U.S. Navy, testified to Congress that the two leading recruiting tools of people who would do danger to our soldiers in Iraq were Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. Of course, the torture memos and what's happening in Guantanamo, what continues to happen in Guantanamo, holding people without charges for years and years, indefinitely torturing them by force-feeding them. And this would be the third recruiting tool, which is refusing to hold people accountable who commit war crimes.
Well, thanks very much, Marjorie, for taking the time to talk with us today.
My pleasure, Sean.
I've been talking with Marjorie Cohen. She is immediate past president of the National Lawyers Guild and a professor at Thomas Jefferson School of Law. You can read her articles on this and other issues at marjoriecohen.com.